All right, we're going to start back in James tonight, and well, of course, we'll miss next week, so we'll keep reading in James and keep studying, and we'll pick up where we left off week after VBS, and then we'll be out again for revival. So we'll get through James probably by the end of June, somewhere around there. Been looking forward to sharing with you tonight. We're down to the last little bit of chapter 4, and this had so much packed into these few verses that I didn't want to pile it in on last week. I wanted to take my time and breathe on this a little bit. So we're going to continue again through the book of James. Just a little recap. Chapter 1, James told us that trials grow our faith, and we should not be just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Then in chapter 2, he said, faith without works is dead. And our faith shows itself in actions. It's not just words, it's not just belief. It's belief coupled with actions that prove, this is the proof in the pudding. Chapter 3, he was very sharp, and he told us that we should tame our tongues and how powerful that words are. Chapter 4, he rebuked our pride and he called us to be humble. He reminds us that God gives grace to the humble. This is where we were last week. He said that he resists the proud. So today, at the end of chapter 4, James warns us about making plans without considering God. So let's all read together James chapter 4. And tonight we're going to start in verse 13. And it says, now come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Verse 15 says, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. God, I ask that you bless the reading of your scripture and your word. God, I ask that you take these preparations and this study time that I've had with you, God, and that you help me present it in such a way that is digestible and palatable. God, that we apply it to our lives, that it not just be a lesson that we come and we hear on Wednesday night, but we actually take the nuggets of truth that we have and we put it to use outside, just as your book of James tells us to do in your word. God, I ask that you, again, you prepare the ground. Any seeds planted tonight, that they take root. God, and I ask that you bind the enemy, that he may not snatch any seed that is planted tonight. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So, verse 13, again, let's look back at it for just a moment. James begins by calling out those that confidently say here, today or tomorrow we'll go to do such and such in a city and we'll make profit. So James isn't condemning planning. He's not saying not to plan. In Proverbs, he actually says that wise people make plans. The problem is presumption. Acting like we're actually in charge of it. Like we're actually leaving God out of the equation. James says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. So life is just plain full of surprises, isn't it? You never know. It's like Forrest Gump and his chocolate box, right? You just never know what you're going to get. None of us knows what tomorrow will bring. How quickly things can change. I remember little preacher had served at Doe River Baptist where I was serving. He was a retired pastor, and I came in at a time when their current pastor had resigned, and so the pastor that had retired was coming back and filling in on occasion. And around February of 2020, he stood in the pulpit and he said, "Guys," he said, I just got a funny feeling about this thing they're talking about that's popped up in China. He said, "I just got a funny feeling that we need to take this serious. And we need to pray about this right now." And at the time, COVID-19 had not even approached our shores. And I'm sitting there thinking, "Oh, poor man, he's off his rocker. There ain't no way that anything like this is going to affect us." But how quickly things changed in 2020. Those of y'all that may had concert tickets or ball game tickets or season tickets to anywhere, or going out and finding toilet paper in the store, my, how things changed so quickly, so drastically. And did anybody have a hint of what we faced in 2020? Did anybody know? We've all seen firsthand how quickly and drastically life can change. Even the weather forecast, we have the best systems in place. We have satellite imaging. We have radar, all the things. And you know what? Even the Weather Channel gets it wrong. So James is asking here a sobering question. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. In the Greek, the word vapor is like steam. So you've walked outside in the cold 40 degree weather, and you've breathed and you see that vapor come off. And you can see your breath on a cold morning and it quickly disappears. That's how brief and fragile our lives are. That's how brief and fragile our lives are. A vapor. My first discussion question tonight is this. How does it feel when your plans don't work out the way you expected? How does it feel when your plans don't work out the way you expected? Anybody?
Getting used to it.
Getting used to it. Randy says getting used to it. Anybody else? Disappointed? What else? Anybody? Anyone else? It can be frustrating. It can be disappointing. Many of us have felt that. We have a plan and it seems so certain. And then life threw us a curveball, right? Yet in those moments, we're supposed to be reminded that God is the one that is fully, completely in control. So how do these experiences that we have remind us of God's sovereignty? They show us that God sees the big picture. He sees the beginning and the end. And His plans are always better and wiser. It's a reminder for us here in James to hold what our plans are loosely and trust His leading. I believe Ken on Sunday night encouraged us to do just that. To trust in God's leading completely, right? So how do we plan at all? How do we plan at all? The call is to be humble when we plan. James isn't saying that we should never make plans. He's saying that when we do make them, we make them with an attitude of humility. He says, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Here's a nugget tonight. If you go around saying, well, Lord willing, that's just not something, a polite saying that we're supposed to say. It's supposed to be a mindset and a heart set. That truly, when we say, Lord willing, what we're actually saying is, God, right now I confess to my brothers and sisters that I trust you with all of my plans. I trust you with everything that I have. I had a seminary professor that would, when he would send out communications to the emails he would always send out to remind us when we had a test due or remind us we had this assignment due and those things, those classroom communications, he would end that email with this, Deo Volante, which is Latin for God wills. So that professor wanted to remind me, and he wanted to remind himself when he would write that in his tagline, is that every plan depends on God's will. That's every plan that we make in our personal life and every plan that we make here at Tennessee Avenue Baptist Church. Faith. We've been talking a lot about faith. Our entire series on James is faith does something. And so tonight I want to share with you, and if you want to write this down, faith plans with humility. Faith plans with flexibility. We have to be flexible and responsive to God's call and His leading. And then finally, faith ultimately trusts God, not a calendar. Of some areas we may in life we may struggle to truly say, if the Lord wills. So that'd be my next discussion question for you guys. What areas do y'all struggle to really truly say, if God wills, let it be done? What areas do you have problems giving that up? How about finances? How about your kids, your grandkids, their relationship with the Lord? Anyone else? Got anything? What areas of your life do you struggle to truly say, if the Lord wills? Y'all are quiet tonight. Anybody? For many of us, it's our jobs. It's our family's future. It's our retirement plans. Maybe it's our health. We often want to hold on tightly to some areas in our life that we can control ourselves or think we can. When in reality, do you know how much you can control? How much? Zero. That's how much control we got. But we still find this conflict within ourselves, wanting to, and it goes back to the Garden of Eden, doesn't it? Wanting control over our lives and our own destiny. Goes back to Satan himself. That's how he tempted man. He said, you know, you can be as smart as God. You can have all the things he's got. You can know everything he knows. And that's the initial tempt, right? And our pride gets in the way. We can practice how we and how we get that mindset of saying the Lord wills everything by pausing before we make those plans to begin with. I would guarantee you, at least I do these every day. We make plans about something every day, right? So you probably made some plans before you got here today. So we can stop and pause and begin to pray and invite God into those plans. That's how you can apply this. Real application here, folks. Start putting God in your planning system. Something that I have done since I started studying James, a practical way that I have went about trying to practice what I preach is I have a calendar on my cell phone, and I have a note-taking app that I use to keep what I have to get done every day on that list. And then, since I have started studying this, I will go in, and beside of where I have made that plan, I will write the time and the date at which I prayed for it. I prayed about this at this time. Prayed about this at this time. And guys, then I get busy, and then I go back and I look at my plans, and I realized how much that I have done that day, and I did not pray about it. And it was shocking. So God is calling me to be better, a better planner by being a better prayer. We think about a farmer. He does everything he can possibly on his own. He plows, he plants, he waters, but he cannot force that seed to grow. He's got to wait, and he's got to trust that God is going to bring the harvest. In the same way, we can work hard, and we can plan carefully, just like that farmer has. We can spend the time that's needed to do the fertilizing and the work and pulling the weeds and doing what we know to do and do it carefully, but we have to ultimately depend on God for the outcome. Right? So my next point is this, that there's an evil associated with arrogant boasting. James doesn't mince words here in verse 16. He says, but now you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. So it's not foolish just to brag about what you're going to do in the future without God. James just says it's plain out sinful. Because why? Why is it sinful for us to leave God out of our plans? Because it, again, puts us in the place of God. That we're in control. There's a famous poem that says, I am the master of my fate and the captain of my soul. While that sounds awful noble and it's got a nice ring to it, James would say that that is arrogant Because God is the true master of our days. So when we boast about our plans without including God, we forget that we are created, not the Creator. We forget that we're stewards of this life and not owners. We forget that we are dependent and not self-sufficient. James challenges us next in verse 17. He says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Again, we're echoing all the way back to what we're looking at in the very first chapter of James. He said, be not only hearers, but doers. He's reminding us to do not delay what God is calling you to do. Do not delay what you know to be right. Do not delay what God's Word says you're to be doing. Have you ever told somebody, I'll call you back, but never did? I've done it. I think I did it last week. I think I did it yesterday, actually. We can do that with God, too. I'll pray tomorrow. I'll serve later. I'll forgive that person someday, but I'm going to hold on to that grudge right now. James says no. He says, if you know the good that God wants you to do, don't wait till tomorrow. Do it today, because we already established life is but a vapor. So what is a good that God is calling you to do today that you've been putting off? Think about that. It might be reaching out to somebody that you've been avoiding. It might be forgiving somebody that hurt you. It might be sharing the gospel with a friend. It might be serving in some area of need. So how can we take that step this week? How can we take that step to do those things that God has called us to do? And He's asking you to do, and that you know to do. I found myself this week praying for courage. Praying for courage and praying that I follow through, even if it is uncomfortable. Even if it makes me weak in the knees, that I do exactly what God has called me to do and is asking me to do at the moment. Trust that God will give you strength that you can be obedient. So tonight I got three H's for you. If you're a note taker, I got three H's for humble planning. So one is humble plans. What I mean by that is surrender yourself to God's will. Honest perspective. Remember that your life is short. It's a vapor. It's fragile. And with that, because you are finite and He is infinite, that God is in control. That God is in control. My third H for you tonight is holy obedience. Don't delay the good that you know that you need to do today. Do not delay it. Pastor Roy Graves, was a pastor that I served with when I was interim at Sunnyside Baptist Church, had a sign on his desk, a little kind of like when you walk into Peggy's desk and you see it says Peggy Phipps on her desk. And he didn't have a nameplate on his desk, but what he had was a sign that said, perhaps today. Perhaps today, it was a daily reminder that perhaps today, Jesus himself would return. So he wanted to live every day in faith and humility, and that was a reminder to him to trust God and to invite him into his planning. So life is uncertain and brief. It's a vapor. God's will is perfect. He alone knows tomorrow. I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand, right? Faith stays humble. It says, Lord willing, and that's not just words, but it's a heart set. It's a heart set. So I would encourage you to take this and apply it, as I've tried to do so since I've been studying. Pause when making plans. Pray, Lord willing. Make yourself notes of when you've prayed about it. And then it's awful good, too, to go back after you've prayed about it, let's say 6 months, a year down the road, and go back to those notes and say, you know what, I prayed about that. And look at the victory that God has brought. To be able to look back and say, God has shown up time and time and time again. The older I get, the older that and more mature I've become, God's grace just continues to amaze me even more. I would listen to senior saints that would pour into the people around them, and they would, I would hear folks say, God's grace is getting gooder and gooder and gooder, and I've listened to the old songs that say, His love gets sweeter as the day goes by. That is more true to me now than it's ever been in my life. So hold your plans with an open hand, knowing that God sees the whole picture and is in control of it all. Don't delay the good God is calling you to do. Start today. Start today. If I could have the musicians come. Y'all will stand with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the wisdom of your word. God, I ask that you help us plan with humble hearts. God, always saying, Lord, if you will it. I'm reminded of your son there in the Garden of Gethsemane. He even prayed to you. The Messiah himself, Lord, if it be your will. God, we may take that as an example with every plan that we take, with every thought that we have about tomorrow. Lord, may it always include your will. Lord God, forgive us for the times. Forgive me for the times that I have left you out of my plans. God, give us courage to obey you today in whatever God is asking us to do. God, I ask that you help us trust in your perfect and complete timing. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Sing with me. This altar's open.
The gulf that separated me from Christ my Lord. What so vast the crossing I could never ford. From where I was to his demand, it seems so far. I cried, dear Lord, I cannot come to where you are. But he came to me. He came to me when I could not come to where he was. He came to me. That's why he died on Calvary. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me.
Are all minds and hearts clear? So thank y'all for bearing with me as we celebrated one of my heroes tonight, and ministers to my soul. And also I hope that as we close up James 4, that you're looking forward to what happens in James 5 as we wrap that up. So go ahead and be reading ahead, and we'll get through it. All minds and hearts clear? If so, we'll have choir rehearsal tonight. God bless you, Lord. I ask that you be with these people as they leave. God, I ask that you keep them safe and you bring them back the next appointed time. And God, help us. Help us to act and be obedient to your word. Do the things that you're calling us to do. And God, to live within your plans. Amen.